Welcome, and you're listening to a Q-Dip Media Group production of Geekologist Radio, a division of the Ninja Fancake Planning Podcast, and we don't have the music to put in because this is live.
So shut up and sit down. Right?
Yes, very late, but live. Lots of technical difficulties, but we're here. It's Cajun, and welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we take you through Microsoft's E3 conference live. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're not, then you're hearing us next, then we did this live. Let's introduce our crew who's excited. It's Chris.
Chris, let the salt shakers begin.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, the pre-show. Damien.
Hey, what's up? I will only be here for a little while tonight just because I have to go into work. But, yeah, poo on that. But, yeah, I'm excited to be here to talk about some stuff before I have to head in.
Fantastic. So first things first, X's going to give it to you.
Yes, oh, basically we have one segment. It's hype train. So yeah,
like I saw as soon as they came out with the X, I'm like, well, I honestly thought they were going Scorpio. I thought they were going to keep it. I really thought that they pumped so too. Much into it. Yeah, X is. I mean, I think it's definitive. It keeps within the Xbox family. They've been touting we want it to be the Xbox family. So if you keep it Xbox One, Xbox One S, Xbox X. It still keeps it all in that same timeline. Everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when you don't have the gamer tag you want? You put an X on the end.
You put an X on it. We found out that it listen, none of the specs they gave are anything different than what they talked about previously. So they talked about the vaping. They talked about the teraflops, the 12 gigabytes of DDR5. The one thing that caught me off guard was the amount of games that they just came out of canon with. Like, we're going to talk about 42 games, 22 are exclusive, and boom. Okay, we've given you everything we need to talk about. They did. I think they talked about the name for what, maybe less than 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Because you don't need to. You don't need to, because everybody knows or is most likely going to change it. Just threw all the specs out there. All the accessories for Xbox One work on it. So that was, I don't think, anything they had clarified before.
That's huge. Cool. That's huge, because that's a lot of people that have controllers that don't have all those accessories that you have to pay for. Think about it. When you're buying something brand new, you've got to rebuy all of the peripheries. This, it just comes all included. The big thing that I think is going to be for that is the fact that you don't have to worry about any of your gaming headphones. So none of the stuff that you have to revamp headphones. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, yep. That is. The other thing, though, is that it was very void of like anything about their Xbox Design Lab and things like that. Because, I mean, because they're supposed to...
They were listening to Chris to say games. Chris kept saying games, games, games. And they were like, this guy Chris keeps yelling at us to just talk about games. So let's just talk about games.
You know what I was shocked about? Like, you mentioning that was the Xbox Elite controller, the upgrade
It's supposed to...
They didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah, because the upgrade... Because first off, they know that they need the upgrade because they need to have the new audio and... Or not audio. They need to have the new setup so that it has the screen... Not screen, the distance and everything. It was supposed to be this kind of, at least the minimum was supposed to be the update that's like to this controller where when they add it and then you would have the cover up here, you know, see, it's a color. They were supposed to have that for the 2.0 at a minimum. And I mean, I'm thinking now maybe Gamescom is going to be peripheral, is where they're going to start showing the peripherals.
That makes sense. Like, let's talk, this is at E3, Sony came out the gate just saying we're going to talk games. And so that's why Microsoft get all of that crap out of the way early with that presser that they had, or not the presser, where they gave out the information to Digital Foundry and talked about, you know, this is what all the specs are, because they didn't want to waste 35 minutes of their E3. This thing would have been 2.5 hours as opposed to the just over 2 hours that it was. So
yeah, very true.
Good on their part. Just talk about games. We already know what it is. Give us the name. Give us the date. Give us the price. That's it. That's all I wanted to know. Talk about games. And so they did. And the first game they talked about was Forza.
That was a given, though, because what do? You open it up, you got... Forza is easy for them to show. That's low-hanging fruit for them to be able to show the graphics and everything else on and have it all kicked up to high speed. Granted, looks amazing. It looks amazing.
Always show the prettiest. That's the thing that, like, with new consoles, you always show the prettiest thing that you can show, and race car games are the easiest, you know, like you said, low-hanging fruit.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the Porsche? Yeah. Was there a need to bring that Porsche out?
I liked it. I liked it, actually. Like,
can I say one thing about the presentation about Forza that I thought was amazing? Two female presenters, both proficient in their sport, and they were leaders in their sport. I thought that was a really smart move on Xbox's part. We're constantly talking about bringing females into gaming and how, you know, that's not done so much. And, you know, coming off of...
With two female drivers.
Two female drivers, very proficient. The only thing that I didn't care for is I hate when they bring up professionals who don't know what about the games. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't know how to play the games. They just know about what's in the game. But still, kudos to them for having two female drivers. I thought it was a really smart move.
And it looked like they were playing it pretty well as well, because they were playing it live, it seemed like. So, yeah, they were playing it live, and everything looked smooth. So that was really good. And November 7th is when they revealed was the launch date for the Xbox One X. And also many of the launch titles are going to be November 7th as well as we go through them.
As we're going through them, too, let's make it pretty clear. There's the word launch exclusive, and then there is console exclusive.
Yes.
And so it changes. So you have to be very specific, because the launch exclusives are pretty specific to the launch window, and I don't know what that is, maybe 2 months, 3 months. I don't know what we're talking about here, but as you're looking over the games, be very cautious of when you say, hey, it's an Xbox exclusive, because Cajun, you pointed out in the middle of the conversation, XP3 said, hey, by the way, we're talking launch exclusive, not console exclusive. So he changed up his vernacular in the middle of the press. So kind of crazy. Damien, you said as soon as you saw the next trailer, you knew exactly what it was right away, and it was Metro.
Yeah, because, the first thing is, like, I'm looking, I'm like, oh my god, this looks beautiful, and then I'm like, as soon as I start seeing Russian, you know, Russian dystopia future, I'm like, first, my first instinct was, okay, are we talking, is this a Rage? And like, no, that's the wrong company. And then I'm like, oh my god, they're making a new Metro.
So one thing you hear very common throughout this whole thing was Damien saying, I knew that. I called that, because me and him were watching it on this appearing at the same time. And it was, oh, I called that. I knew that. Oh, this is this. Oh, this is that. I called that. I knew that the whole time.
What was really cool for me was an open world Metro game, which I thought was awesome. That's a first. That's a huge deal. And tell me you did not have Fallout vibes, because that gave me Fallout vibes all over the place. Yeah. So I thought it was a real nice callback to Fallout. People wanted an open world, and Exodus is a really nice game for Metro to get into the Xbox family, you know, to the next to the next level.
And it doesn't look to be an exclusive. It's not an exclusive.
I think we're talking console or whatever launch
4K title. And also like 4K.
No, I don't even think
they gave a coming in 2018 date, right? Like, so a 2018 date for this, which is not an exclusive. Mm-hmm. The one thing that shocked me is the next presentation. We all knew that Assassin's Creed Origins was going to be there, but I really thought we were only going to get a trailer. I didn't think we were going to get gameplay.
Yeah, but okay, first off, and Cajun was right. Cajun called this. He's watching, and like, we know that Ubisoft has said there before the Division and there's after the Division. It's all built on the same engine. First thing Cajun does is when he throws up the bird, he's like, "Oh, I'm throwing up my drone, and I'm in
drone from Wildlands."
Yep. Wildlands. Right. Yep.
Scoop out the area, mark enemies, drone, AKA.
Which isn't a bad thing, because it felt very similar. Like, it felt like Wildlands with a medieval more. It actually felt not medieval. Ancient Egyptian, and it felt very much, because they don't have the black powder, you don't have all that stuff going on, it felt more akin to the original title, which really, really has me super happy about. Like, I see that, I'm like, oh my, this is like the original, this has me in, I want to play Assassin's Creed again.
They said they were pushing
more
the RPG
elements.
Your point. The RPG elements. That's exactly what I was going to talk about, Cajun. The other thing that I noticed too, and I don't know if you guys caught it, was just how crisp the UI was on this. Even in the customization part where they switched to his weaponry, like, I just thought it was just so much more clear than Unity or even Black Flag was. And so you could see the upgrade leveling and that whole customization with the RPG elements. I thought that was very clear when I was watching it.
Yeah, one thing Damien pointed out right at the end was it had very bullet tracking elements to it.
I was like,
So that bullet tracking, that arrow, when he shot that arrow and then it shot first person and went straight through, that was awesome. Like, if I wonder if that's going to be a cutscene every time you have like a special.
I think he was controlling it. Like, mm-hmm. I think that was like, it was like, the, you know, like the bullet whipping a la, you know, Wanted.
Yeah, exactly. It has that very Wanted feel of, let me curve this arrow because I'm that awesome of a Superman.
The next game that came up, we talked about this on the last podcast, who was going to pony up to get PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, because that's the game that everybody wants to play right now. And if you're a streamer, especially with Mixer, this is a big deal for Xbox.
It is.
Now, again, if they say console exclusive, it's end of console exclusive, so I don't know how long it's going to be on, but I'm guessing till the end of this year.
It's exclusive because it's a preview program. PlayStation doesn't do the preview, and so it is an exclusive until the game's ready to launch.
Which could be a year, right?
It could be even longer because, you know, Ark just now or just recently, like a few months ago, finally went on PlayStation, finally said, okay, we're going to let you play the actual full game instead of just the PvP match that they put on.
Now, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but you talked about Conan Exiles being in the same position, right?
Yes. Conan Exiles is in the same position. Conan Exiles is going to be a Xbox preview game. And as well as that one, if I remember correctly, is a Play Anywhere as well. It's just PlayerUnknown is Play Anywhere very rare as well.
Right. And this one's going to be available in PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. It will be available November 7th when Xbox One X launches.
Yes.
With some enhancements for One X.
Yeah. And that's going to be, I cannot wait. Like, I am going to be playing the hell out of that in between some Destiny.
Now they super slid in that Deep Rock Galactic. Like, that thing was like stealth went in and it was out. I think it was like 10 seconds. Like, it was so fast I didn't even really get to see what it was. In fact, I didn't even write it down on my piece of paper because it came back so fast.
Yeah, it was like exclusive Deep Rock Galactic gone. Like, what was that? I barely even took any notes on it either. I just got exclusive and in there, and that was it. I was like, what was that thing all about?
By the time I went and looked back up again to see what it was, that's when they started playing the trailer for State of Decay 2, and I was like, yes, I love State of Decay. I bought it when it came out as the last version of the old Summer of Arcade. Like, it came out really late. And so that game was wonky and had a ton of issues, but it was fun as hell. And it is so close to playing The Walking Dead. It's unreal. And now that you can play with 4-player co-op, I'm down. And
how about that trailer with grabbing the fields? You should get the guy who chooses, you know, they put the gun to the girl's temple.
Puts it right to her temple.
Yeah. And he goes, no, we need everybody. And he saves her. And then at the end, all of a sudden, that's the guy who gets ripped in half.
He gets his ripped in half by the giant.
I mean,
she hops on that giant's back and she's stabbing that thing, and it's like, it's not going down. And then once she kills it, she walks back towards that car, and I'm like, yes.
You see the other two people just come up with it. And now I'm curious how that's going to play out as in a multiplayer experience, because it's going to be like, you're playing that character, you're done. Does that mean that you go to a new character that they can find later on? Because it's going to
respawn and get your stuff?
It's, you're going to keep the RPG element while still taking control of these other characters. So
you probably have to make a new character, be found by your friends, and then his stuff's going to be in his room. And like, hey, will you get his room now?
Did any of you see if it was a Play Anywhere? Because I don't remember seeing it.
I don't remember seeing that, no.
It's exclusive to Xbox, obviously, because the Undead Labs is the one who did it. So, 2018, spring of 2018 is when it's going to come out.
Yep.
So, I would say if they're going to do spring of 2018, it's going to probably be a late play. They're going to push it past any of the major players because this is going to be a cornerstone for Xbox. It's their only first party that's coming out in the spring, at least from what they showcased here. So, I guess we'll find out a little bit, I suppose.
Well, we now know that Sea of Thieves got pushed back, so, which Chris was right.
Yeah.
Everybody's stepping aside from Destiny. Everybody's like, we don't want to put up with that.
We'll get to that one.
We're going to save that.
Okay.
Darwin.
But we got next. Yeah. We got another Battleground game. That was surprising.
Yeah. Darwin Project. Like a Hunger Games. That game was pretty awesome.
Which Darwin Project is renamed. That was, they showed a preview for this game. From a while back, and it was, you know, because they were talking about how viewers can send stuff in. Well, now they took this back, and the reason why now you see they took it back is they took it back to build it up with Mixer, because you can use your Mixer points. This is another thing, because you know, your level, your points, and everything, you can use those to purchase things within. You can use your Mixer points to be able to send in items to your favorite survivor or favorite player.
They quickly kind of glossed over Minecraft really quickly. To me, the thing that they glossed over that seemed like was the fact that it was you can play on anything. It's cross-platform now. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's
and the thing deal. Is, you could yeah, because you can play with Nintendo. Now, they did not show, they said that you can play with anything, but they did not show Sony. So if you can play with Sony, they deliberately left the Minecraft created Sony PlayStation out.
Well, it said consoles. Yeah. It didn't say Xbox. It just said consoles, and it said plural. So you have to make the assumption that this is going to be a Sony.
You're still going to have to buy this, though. Well. I mean, you're going to have to buy it for every platform. You'll just be able to carry over your stuff. So if you have the Switch, you're still going to have to pay for it on the Switch because you can't play it on there unless you own it. So you could take your PlayStation over to your Switch.
PC, it's a PC play anywhere. But if you have PC, you can play PC and Xbox. So.
Well, that would be cool. That's
and
cool.
The fact that they're opening big servers so you can actually go on there. Like, because some of the big things I did was play games. I played the title on servers quite often. Like, you know, I had certain servers I played on, and they were it was pretty cool. Like going out and playing Minecraft, just listening to some music, and before you know it, you're looking out and you see daylight. You know, it's a game like that you can lose your time in, especially because on the PC, what I liked is I could use HD textures, and it would kind of create a different environment, even though it's all square. That's one of the things that they announced. They're like, hey, and look, super HD textures, and I'm like, 4K, and I'm like...
Yeah, the
super duper graphics pack,
and the 4K the 4K pack is free. Of course it is. Yeah, it better be.
No, it is. It is.
4K. Well, I mean, what I'm saying, like they talk about it like it's a big deal. It's like that better be. I own the game in 4K.
Now this is where it's going to get interesting because see, I have a ton of characters that I created based off Transformers and things like that. Now, if I'm able to import those in, you know, that's going to start. There's going to be a lot of kits on how to make skins, and so the question with that is, do you have to pay? Like, hey, I want to import X amount of skins. Am I gonna have to pay to import my skins onto console, they only come in for mine? You know, yeah. So
yeah, would they just link in by
your account. PC, you know, or something like that? That's where it's gonna get a little interesting because it'd affect skin packs and things like that. Mashup packs, you know, there's a lot more that goes into those, but there's a lot of questions that were left with that, and that they didn't go over.
So the next like three or four games we'll kind of go over really quickly because they just kind of skimmed a lot of these games. We don't really know a lot about them. Dragon Ball Z Fighter was a fighter game. Fighter Z was pretty cool. We know that it's not exclusive. We know that it's coming out in 2018. It had like a Street Fighter vibe with Dragon Ball Z. So we know that that's coming out. The MMORPG, the Black Desert.
Black Desert Online is this game has such a deep character creation. With it, they actually have a pause menu and save so that you can create a character, work on it, and stop. I have a coworker that when he tested the game, it took him 4 hours to create his character.
Oh wow, really?
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah. And the action looked great. Yes, the action part of this RPG looked great. That hits me right in the feels. If you have great combat, great action in your RPG, I'm loving it. So this is a launch exclusive only. This is exclusive, but launch exclusive, and we don't know the time window, but. This one interests me a lot just from the action they showed in that trailer.
They had The Last Knight, which is an action platformer. They showed that. They showed The Artful Escape, which looked like a trippy platformer with that dude on the guitar that was just standing there playing. I was like,
when we were watching that, the first thing I said was that the first thing I told Derek is I'm like, okay, so we play this one while you. Never mind. You do questionable things.
We are live on YouTube right now, so we can't get up. But yeah, exactly. The character looked like he was on drugs big time. But the Last Knight looked like it was set in Blade Runner. Like almost. It had like this platformer set in Blade Runner world, and the other one was set in this other trippy universe. So yeah, there's two exclusive platformers, but Artful Escape being a launch exclusive.
Code Vein was kind of cool only because Japan is a place that Xbox hasn't done very well in. And so to have another action RPG that's a Japanese, that means they're still trying to go after it here. I don't know if they'll succeed. Again, coming out in 2018, so a lot of the stuff that they talked about. The thing that they finally showed a nice extended trailer to kind of give everybody a treat, the people who are in the alpha, which again, we're not allowed to have any conversations about, but what they showed in that trailer gave everybody a clear picture of what Sea of Thieves is about.
Yeah, and because they showed those things, we could talk about it. And so I can talk about some of the stuff. And that sword play, when you get to fight like that, the adrenaline is real. Because it's not like these other games where you pull out a trigger and you're like, boom, 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 I can just keep pulling the trigger. This one is, you literally are in and... You know, you have to duck behind and reload your gun and everything. And the sharks, that you know me, I'm always talking about Drunken Shark Punching League, and it's going to be real.
The thing that we didn't know was going to be there was humans being shot out of cannons. That's crazy.
Somebody is yelling at that about that.
Yeah.
No, Damien was like, ah! Damien was right.
For anybody who thought that this was going to have a story mode to it, they made it very clear, like just in what in another gameplay, unless they show something in the hour after that we haven't seen, there it doesn't appear to be a story mode to this.
they're working on finding ways to do that along with live campaigns,
like which expansions? Will actually.
Live campaigns are a way that they're going to be including. They'll be changing up missions and creating things that they can do on the fly for holiday season and all sorts of stuff. They're also kind of looking at it like an EverQuest kind of view, where like EverQuest used to allow any game master could take over an NPC and create their own story and kind of go with it.
Okay.
So we may have NPCs that all of a sudden are, you know, they're communicating with us with it. Well, that would be rare. So that's
it. Yeah, it wouldn't matter to me if you had a bunch of story mode stuff in there, because this is all about
this is all about team.
It's all about teamwork. It's all about sharing the world. It's a shared world pirate game. We're gonna go with the Destiny term of shared world in there. And I like one of the things I noticed at the beginning is that when they're going down there into that pirate ship and swimming down, anything can be down there because we're still designing this thing.
Yeah.
So they're very acknowledging that we're not done yet. This is what you can get right now. And I liked how they showed a lot of these gameplay elements and everything from the interaction with other pirate ships. But man, being shot out of that cannon to go after another ship instead of having to swim looked awesome.
And that guy didn't take a ton of damage when he hit the ship either. It was pretty cool. And when he got shot to the island just so he could have the map in his hand. He's like, all right, I'm here. I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty awesome. So to kind of to quell all thoughts of it coming out in 2017, it's not. It's 2018 early.
Yeah.
And I was shouting from the mountaintops that I didn't think this thing
know,
was coming out.
I know.
I just felt like it's not ready yet. I felt like it was still cooking. So, and I'm glad that they're going to choose to do this. Rare really needs to come out with this game, and it needs to be on all cylinders. It needs to have everything ready because they get one crack. They're an older studio that's trying to come back out again, and they're showing a fresh face. And I really feel like they need to do all of their due diligence. This thing can't crash on servers. It's going to be an online player only game. They need to really make sure that they do that. It can be single player, but it's really more meant to, like Cajun said, it's meant to be played with groups. So all of that has to be working at all the time. So they just can't get this wrong. And so I'm glad that they're going to take a little bit more time with it. Yep. We saw Tacoma really briefly. Fulbright came out. It was just basically like, hey, by the way, I'm here. Like Steve Gaynor was there. Mm-hmm. He said he didn't even say hi. Like last year, he said hi on stage. He didn't even say hi this year. And it's like, oh, it's exclusive to on August 2nd, exclusively coming to them, which means they must have first priority on it. They don't own the exclusivity to Tacoma. I know that. So it'll be just a matter of time.
Well, it did say exclusive. It didn't say launch exclusive in the reveal trailer.
That's so weird. So. That's so weird because of conversation that I've heard him on other places where he said that this is coming out. This is not going to be console exclusive. So
hey, but Chris, something that you I instantly when I saw it, I was like, oh, Chris is going to like this. Was it Hey Neighbor?
Oh yeah, I saw it. Yeah, Hello Neighbor was out. Yeah,
Hello Neighbor. Yeah,
yeah. I went and saw those folks at PAX East. It was really really cool. Third person platformer in a Mario style. Super lucky.
Yeah,
tale.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. I was thinking, oh,
that looked cool.
I was thinking to myself, this is Sonic. Like this is awesome. Like that's what I thought right away. Yeah. It was like Tails from Sonic. Like that's what I was thinking, and I thought, wow, this.
Are Mario in his raccoon
suit?
Yeah, because he's gonna spin and hit him with the tail.
And the other thing is a face for Microsoft, having a character that might be like, not like the face of Microsoft, but something that they could kind of hang their hat on and say, okay, this is ours. This is, you know, this is a character that we can build upon or whatnot. It was very sharp for a game that probably, it doesn't look like a AAA game, but it still looked very, very sharp. We got finally a date for Cuphead. It's like, oh, they showed Cuphead again. And I was like, listen, if this is the fifth time this is coming out and we see this again without a date, there's going to be some issues. They revamped this game because originally it was a boss battle game only, and then they decided, people complained and said, hey, we need to have levels to this. So they revamped the game to do that, and then people who played it said, oh, wow, since you added the levels, this is kind of crappy. So then they revamped the game again.
But they also made fun of themselves during it. That was what was funny about it. It's like mm-hmm. you've never seen before, and they exit out.
No, but we got a date, so it's going to be September 29th, which is great because it means it's going to be coming out for people who are the Xbox One owners. The game is only $19.99, which is really cheap. Like, I mean, people are going to go run to Cuphead. This reminds me of one of those Summer of Arcade ID games, so I think that it's going to get a lot of pub, and it's coming out at a really good spot. September 29th is really late in the ballgame, so I think that it'll be super, super, it'll be good for
it. Yeah. Yeah, and Super Lucky's Tale comes out Xbox One launch, so exclusive and comes out on the launch date of the One X.
I was so excited for the next one, and it let me down so badly. I think everybody else might have been really excited about it, but I thought the Crackdown demo it wasn't even a demo. It was more like just
a trailer.
Yeah. And for a game that's a launch exclusive on November 7th, this is coming out day and date with the Xbox One X. I didn't see any gameplay. I'm like, where's the gameplay?
I mean, they showed when they're running around jumping up and shooting stuff. I mean, that is gameplay. If you've played any of the other Crackdown games, you know that's gameplay. What I what I really enjoyed, granted, the thing that bothered me was that the building exploding and all the stuff that they showed initially was not there in game footage. But what was nice about it is that I was watching and seeing, you know, they totally rebuilt that game. Like, from what we first saw of it to now, it's a completely different title. Like, the looks, everything are been, it is built for Scorpio, which, you know, excuse me, Xbox One X.
You know what was nice though? It had a very Telltale feel to it, is what I thought when I saw it. The really dark stenciling and the really dark outlines to the things. I really liked the opening because it just reminded me of what's the Under Armour commercial that he's always on.
Oh yeah,
the deodorant. So that's what it reminded me of. So we got Crackdown 3. It's coming out November 7th.
Old Spice.
Yeah. Which was really
had very Old Spice.
Old Spice. Yeah. And then you finally got the ID at Xbox. You got the indie games, which was a big, huge showcase of a bunch of games. This is the part where when Phil Spencer had come out and said, hey, we're going to show 42 games, they showed 20 of those in that really quick, like, roll trailer of all the ID games, which included Hello Neighbor. It included also Conan Exiles was on there. So there was a couple of games that I had seen in PAX East that were in there. I was like, oh, I remember that game. Oh, I remember that game. Like, so it was kind of cool. Like, I thought that the fact that they've made it to Xbox, I thought was really cool.
Yeah. A lot of them looked interesting in there. There was just too many of the count and or even write down because I couldn't even keep
it. So I'm just waiting for Conan to come on to Xbox because that way, like, I'm going to do all the little nasty tricks that I learned how to do for the PvP version part of it because I play role play, so I don't have to deal with a lot of the stuff that I would have to deal with on the Xbox side. So I can't wait to pull some of those tricks that I've learned.
So Ashen was next, right? I don't remember a whole lot about Ashen. I don't know if any of you guys do.
Dark survival game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a co-op survival game you go into like a tower basically and you're trying to basically like a dungeon crawler kind of thing and trying to survive, but there's a lot of booby traps and things like that. It was kind of in development hell for quite a while, and we didn't actually see it. Like, it just disappeared. It was one of those games, the same one with that, the one you were talking about earlier, where the mixer you could drop the items off on, Darwin. This was what shown during the same time as Ashen, and both games disappeared, and now all of a sudden they're back. And I was really excited to see that. The art style is really cool. I'm just going to be glad to finally get my hands on it and play it because it was one of those titles I was excited for, and it's a co-op thing, but it's a co-op kind of like, oh, do you trust your ally or do you not? At least that's how they showed it originally. This one shows it more like a Dark Souls co-op. So it could
Is it co-op only like A Way Out was yesterday? Okay. So
so the next one up was Life is Strange. That was leaked a couple early in the week. That we knew that the prequel was going to be out for Life is Strange. The things that I thought were really cool was the fact that it told the story of, like, there were a lot of people that wanted to kind of know how this thing led up in Life is Strange, and it got a lot of pub as a game that, like, early on people had some criticism about, and later on, the longer the game got, you know, the more the series was out, and because they did it in individual, you know, games, it's almost like a Telltale type series, people became more and more and more and more and more interested in it. So I thought that it was really cool that they had showed it. I know people knew that it was coming. August 31st is the date of episodes 1 of 3. So before it was, I think it was 5. So they're only coming out with 3 for this prequel. I think that's short enough and long enough. I don't know if anybody was looking specifically for a prequel, but I don't think anybody will turn it down because they really like the game. So, and then the next was Middle Earth: Shadow of War. And this is one of those things where, like, when I watched it, I said to myself, I don't even need to see any more of this. I know that I want to play this. Stop showing me more trailers. Like, just... I want the game. You guys are supposed to come out with it already, or, you know, soon, and then it got bumped because of polish. I don't even want to see anymore. Just stop.
Yeah. I mean, this game has been getting tested quite a bit, and the thing about it is that Nemesis program has been, or Nemesis program, I'm talking Resident Evil here, the Nemesis system really has been revamped, and they instantly, right in the beginning, they showed something that we talked about, I think it was last episode we talked about the Nemesis program or Nemesis thing system where they can actually try to revolt against you. So you could wind up having this guy that you really have worked up his army and worked him up and helped him level him up. And then all of a sudden he's able to resist you And now you have to go against somebody that you helped create, essentially. And that's going to be awesome, you know? It's going to suck, but it's going to be good.
They called it Forging mm-hmm. Army of Followers, which is part of the new Nemesis system, and also Nemesis Fortresses, which is yes. the defense system. So it looked a lot like the same, except for these two upgrades and obviously graphical stuff and, you know, mm-hmm. a bigger expansive world. But it just looked like they built upon Shadow of Mordor into Shadow of War, and then that, I mean, it looked fantastic.
It's got elements of real-time strategy with it, which is real-time strategy and Lord of the Rings goes hand in hand. So putting that in with a game that already has a good following, you know, you can't really go wrong with that. And so I'm excited for it.
Yeah, this thing's coming out October 10th, 2017. Yes. Too, so right around the corner.
Another game that was no surprise and was leaked earlier this week, Ori and the Will of Wisps. So everybody yes. knew that Ori and the Blind Forest was going to have a sequel. It was super, super popular. It was even more gorgeous than I remember Ori being, and Ori's a gorgeous game. They had the pianist that came out and played, must be the composer of all of the music, Garth Coker was his name. And it looked fantastic. The gameplay I'm assuming is going to be very similar, but I'm sure they're going to make, you know, they'll have some add-ons to it. But if it's more Ori, I'm in, because I really, really enjoyed that game when I got it.
Yeah. I mean, the music, that's the thing is I will give credit to every game we saw for having excellent, excellent audio. The music that you heard with any of the titles that they showed was enough just to like say, hey, you're coming in and you're going to listen and we're going to have you and you're not going anywhere. And that was just like, if you can get me to where I'm clenching my fists and I'm ready to like just jump up and start cheering, you know, you got a title that's interesting me.
Right. And this one is exclusive to Xbox. And then Middle Earth Shadow of War, when we talk about before, that has exclusive content to Xbox. Yep. Yeah. But
so the people have been clamoring, Xbox fans specifically, about having backwards compatibility for OG, for the OG Xbox. So we finally got it. Like Phil Spencer said it, and like everybody was cheering and everybody was excited. Contrary to what PlayStation's telling everybody, that nobody wants to play backwards compatible games, Xbox is pushing even harder on backwards compatible games. What are your guys' thoughts?
I think that instantly I start thinking, we're going to get 6 games a month. We're going to get Xbox original games coming to us for Xbox Live owners. And, you know, first thing I thought of? If you're doing this, bringing this back, that means that we're going to have Xbox Live online again. So I'm thinking, you know, you got Halo 2, you got Halo, you got these first party titles that you can go back and play the originals online. Skylanders wasn't on original Xbox.
Wasn't it on OG Xbox?
No, not Skylanders.
They talked about Crimson Skies.
Crimson Skies is huge. We know that N64 Josh, that's one of his favorite games. I mean, that was a game that I really enjoyed. But there's a title that screams to me. Well, there's a few titles. We got all of the titles that were from, you know, BioWare and all that stuff. And we got the, like, Jade Empire. Mm-hmm. We have Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2. And, you know, just a little game, you know, or series of games, but Jedi Knight Academy, getting to go online and play in that game again.
So you can play KOTOR.
KOTOR, you can play those. Jedi Knight Academy, you get me that in there. I don't care if the graphics are dated. I'm going to be on there force choking fools and throwing lightsabers through their chests.
I just made the connection to is the new Xbox Online Live with those games. They brought this out because they don't have a ton of backwards compatible games and everybody's clamoring for these games. They can add these games into that paid service, and now you have shit ton of more games for folks to want to play, right?
Yeah, just constantly.
You could constantly be bringing in these older titles, and everybody's going to be clamoring. They're like, "Oh, bring out this! Oh, bring out this!" So you have a little bit.
Metal Arms is another title that a lot of people didn't really know much about, but the game itself was great. It was built on the Halo engine, and it was a great co-op title, or not co-op title, but like you could do 4v4 combat on. And if you add Xbox Live to that, that'd be good.
Yeah, this just fits into what they've been saying. And not really finalizing anymore, but Xbox One. One was one system for everything. Now, an Xbox One can do Xbox One games, Xbox 360 games, old Xbox games. You can watch your streaming all your TV apps on it. You can have a can be a DVR, it can be a TV guide. It now it has all that stuff, but they stopped like promoting it as that because people were like, I just want it to be a gaming system. But they're just putting all that stuff in that allows people to do it and not promoting it as such where people kind of like stop talking about it.
Yes. Yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, because one thing is Xbox gets told, places like GameStop, stuff like, oh, my God, you know, we're going to go under because of digital sales, things like that.
Sure.
You know, we had heard that they're talking about, you know, reimbursement for digital sales, things like that within the time period. They didn't even talk about that at E3 this year. Like they didn't talk about it. We knew that they were going to, but they didn't. So that's probably, again, I'm thinking Gamescom is going to be where they talk about their peripherals. This was all games. GameStop, you know, you're going to find out that you know, all of a sudden these games that you haven't seen there, classic titles coming back, they're going to be like, yes, bring us your Xbox original games.
What you're going to see is those $5 games are going to go up to $10 because now you're able to play them on a different system. So right when they tell you something great, hey, we got backs from compatible games, this is where I'm going to throw out the salt. Then they're going to kick you right in the member berries and tell you that it's $4.99 price tag for this Xbox One X. And so they lift you up just to smash you back down again and say, hey, everybody who thought it was going to be $3.99, nope. It's going
to
be
$4.99 to me is fine. I paid $4.99 originally for my Xbox One, you know, and I you know, here's the thing. I know that I'm going to jump on and get it. And no, I know that I'm going to hold off on buying any more for my kids or anything because I know in a year it's going to drop, have a big price drop.
It's going to be consistent.
Comes out November 7th. How quickly do they drop it on a Black Friday sale so you can save yourself with a package deal, like built in with a game, like Crackdown or something like that?
It'll be built in day one with a game. Like there'll be some of these titles that they're going to announce
Gamescom. Will announce the package deals. Gamescom, they'll be like, oh, get Xbox One or Xbox X with the Elite package, and it'll have higher, you know, higher, because that's the other thing. They didn't even mention on how much the $4.99, how much memory it has.
Oh no, they didn't even say anything about that.
Because
let alone if they have a higher package, like you were
kidding. And with getting other games, that's the other thing is they're like, oh, we'll put out, well, we're going to release stuff like this. We're going to release 4K updates that you can get. 4K takes a lot of space.
Sure does.
So, yeah. You know, you gotta go with that because even external hard drives are going to cost you more because you're going to have to get the 4 terabyte. And you're going to fill up a 4 terabyte pretty damn quick with this 4K stuff. You got that.
But you can easily delete and download.
Yeah, you can. You can.
It just takes a long time.
Again, this is that thing with the Comcast where if you have Comcast or you have the metered connection, like some of those places in Canada and everything, that you're like, if you're not watching it, downloading 4K stuff, you're going to have overages real quick.
Now, the
internet companies are going this right now.
The thing that Xbox ended on, I think everybody was really excited about because BioWare's been teasing the Destiny-like game that they were going to be coming out with. And that game we found out was Anthem. We found out yesterday at their press conference, but they said that they were going to show gameplay in this, and oh boy, did they ever. Because this game looked like a combination of like Halo with some mech suits, with Mass Effect, with, you know, Horizon in it, and it was like
Iron Man.
Yeah.
That underwater scene was incredible when that
thing was. It was
when he
gorgeous.
Dove and then came back up again. You can see where this is considered, like, would have a Destiny type feel, maybe third person. I was thinking more of the Division, less Destiny, because this is a first person. This is more of like a Division type third person in the sense that you're collecting things and they showed the gun and there's probably mods to the gun and all that other stuff. And I'm assuming there's going to be some version of a raid or whatever that happens to be for this.
Well, that's what they said when they pointed out. And they go, oh, yeah, we'll play that later because he's going to need the EXP.
Yeah.
And we were questioning during it, you know, Cage and I were like, well, how many players are it going to be? Then you see him bring in 4. The thing that Cage noticed was that you don't, at least in this gameplay, that you don't have like randomness. Like we didn't know
you don't have random people
that you can bump
into. Hey, look, there's something happening over there. They're engaging. Let's go help them. Like you get in Destiny. This seems to be like this would be an open world, but not the shared world.
They did say though that it was storms during storms and things like that were going on that you will interact and find other things going on. So that could be when you come into storms. That could be like when you're going into a event that's coming. That's you know, in Destiny, it's coming down, and then all of a sudden the other players spawn in. That's something where we could bump into that with that title. But the other thing is how many of you guys, or I mean, did any of you guys feel that because of this title that you might be a little more excited for this new IP versus Destiny 2?
Yes. I thought, this was more interesting. Oh, no, over Destiny 2? No. I mean, this is something completely different, but I was extremely interested.
Of course, because you love third person. You're all in on third person.
But Derek, to your point, the reason why I don't think that they showed them going off to somebody else is because this is alpha footage. This is stuff, like, they scripted Very this true. Real, this is real scripted. They couldn't have a ton of interaction because that could cause it to go off script. So what they did is they just showed you a nice chunk and gave you a really good idea. They gave you the movie montage early, then they gave you like the stuff in the suits, but there was nothing around them. Like it was really vague on, and then the people that were in the foreground when he was picking people off, that was kind of cool. Like I really appreciated that stuff where she was sitting on the mountain or sitting on the top and they were picking people off where the one guy jumped down and shot all the missiles and stuff. So that had a Titanfall feel to it. Like that's what a Titanfall mech suit would do. So
and then seeing the big creature and they're like, we're just going to avoid him for now. And we're going to go around. That was cool because that's showing persistent world.
Yes.
I was excited about that.
I was excited about that.
Yeah, but that's going anywhere though because this game also has this go anywhere feel because you're flying. You're literally flying. You're not on a speeder. You're not scooting around on the ground trying to jump up and level stuff. You can fly anywhere. So this is you're not going to be bound by some of these levels and some of these walls. You're just going
to verticality. Yeah, verticality is going to be totally real.
With that dive, did you see the world shaking as that mech suit was flying down? Like the whole everything was coming at him really quickly, like it would be if you were doing like skydiving, like and you were just free falling. So
How about that hero landing though?
You have to put the hero landing and you have the big mech like it.
So let's give our overall thoughts on the Xbox presser, where we thought that they succeeded and where we thought that they may have failed.
So I like the fact that they came out and said, oh, we have all these exclusive games. I didn't like the fact that they weren't clear on what exclusive was what. What was a launch exclusive? What was a full exclusive? And I felt their stuff that was full exclusive on the games is still not going to be as strong as what Sony's going to be bringing to the table. In terms of the pull of the games. There'll still be good games in there, but the games that Sony will be announcing as their console exclusives, not launch, but console exclusives, I think are going to be stronger titles. So I think they're making up any ground there. They're going to make up ground with Xbox One X, I think, on console side, because they're adding a third console to the mix as well, and they're adding the biggest and best. So everybody who wants the biggest and best will get it. In comparison to what you'd pay for a streaming box, it's a very reasonable price for a very powerful computer, I think. It's going to be expensive for a gaming console, but very reasonable price for a very powerful computer, and people are going to be getting it. I think they did a survey to say, do you plan on buying the Scorpio? Yes. What price point will you not pay? And they're like, it's $4.99. We're going with that one. I think that was their survey. All right.
I thought that they hit successes in the messaging in the sense that they didn't bring up the Xbox One S at all. They didn't mention the price drop of the Xbox One S at all.
They said it dropped to $50.
Did it was like a one sentence thing where they didn't even go up on the screen. They didn't talk about peripheries. They only talked about games. I think they failed in the sense that the $4.99 is a mental thing with people, and I really feel like mind share is a big deal. And so if somebody walks into a store and sees that a PS4 Pro is whatever less and can do pretty much the same exact thing, I think that the $4.99 price tag is just too much. It's not meant for that person. It's meant for the hardcore gamer. The console gamer who is the family person whose mom and dad are paying for it are going to go with the S and be just as happy with that 4K up-res and all that other good stuff. But I really feel like they missed the mark just on the pricing itself. As far as the games and stuff, you can tell what they have in their first party stable. Not a lot, because they ended their entire press conference on a third party game, which says to me they didn't have anything Halo, just give me a teaser trailer of Master Chief. Just tell me that it's coming. You know, we know that it Halo wasn't going to be there, and they said they were going to be there of some sort, but they weren't there at all. 343 was not there.
Halo Reach is done. Like I know that it's done, and that's what's killing me is I know 100%.
I played Halo Reach a long time ago. Why would I be excited about new
because
Halo Reach?
It's because of the up-res graphics and everything like that, and it's a fun. To me, that's I like same. The idea of that because I love the game. I want to look at stuff that's prettier, and so if I can play the same game and have it prettier, I'll enjoy it. Like I'm weird like that. I know that's a lot of people are like, just go play the original, but you know. It's just something that I like, but that bothered me.
I like it. I like it too, but I'm not going to be excited about it. I'm not going to say you need to have a press conference about it. You're not going to have have to be on stage with it. You can just say it's coming. If you just any game that that's
killed
a remake,
me,
I really don't
what,
think
what
it needs
I had
to
a hard time with
stage.
Is that Studio Gobo is making a new IP. they weren't even, and they announced that they're partnered with it. There's three companies that have announced they're partnered with Xbox, and none of those studios were mentioned. You know, if you're talking about exclusivity, you're talking about, just throw up the studio name and say, hey, we got these guys working on stuff. Like, I know titles that are being produced that they didn't mention. Like, that we saw Fable, but it was the Fable game that the studio from Lionhead that stuck together.
It's the card game.
That's not what it, you know, show us the Fable open world game you're working on. Quit hiding behind it and, you know.
It might not be ready to show stuff yet, man.
Show a picture that shows the title, you know, because PlayStation's done that. PlayStation has done that.
Everybody complains about PlayStation showing games that aren't going to be available for 2 years. So
I get it. So that's, you know, marketing wise, they don't. But
they need to show
what's available
on this Xbox One S now. You have to be able to buy.
And they have to have an E3 Microsoft 2018 conference. Yes. They show everything now.
They also have to be able to have stuff to hide stuff to show at Gamescom, because everybody holds back some pretty big surprises for Gamescom, because that's the biggest show in the world for video games. So, you know, so that I guarantee you that's where the peripherals are going to be shown, because you hold back, you're like, hey, we got a big show coming up. They're, you know, people are going to want to see the peripheral stuff that's going to work, the new tech, all that stuff. You're probably going to see HoloLens be brought back up, because I know HoloLens, it's, if you see, like, so I follow Jessica Marzipan on social media, stuff like that. She's working at one of the new studios at Microsoft, and she was walking around. She goes, oh, I can't show most of this stuff. First thing you walk out and see, it's E3 coming up. Your Microsoft Studios, what do you think you're going to be seeing all of? You see all these banners of HoloLens. So they're going to be pushing HoloLens here pretty soon on a lower, I'm guessing on a lower price point to the consumers. And that'll probably be mentioned at Gamescom.
I would assume so. They didn't even talk about VR.
Not at all.
I'm going to be curious what Sony says so about VR, because I have a feeling that VR is going to be exactly the spot that it's in right now. And it's the people who have enough money to pay for it. It's a niche market, and you won't see a lot of push for it. Although they sold a million units of the PSVR unit, so we'll see. But I think that kind of wraps up our thoughts on the Xbox One conference. I know we'll have more to say about Bethesda and Sony and Ubisoft as it comes up, but I think that wraps it up for us, right?
Short episode, all hype.
It is.
I liked it.
All right, for Geekologist Radio, I guess we're me out.